Thoughts from Talks to the Students of Avondale College, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia, 1898. Let us read John 14, verse 1 to 3. This is our consolation. Therefore, let not your hearts be troubled. Had their minds not been darkened by the desire for the first places, he would have explained things to them much more fully, but they could not understand, and he said unto them, John 16, verse 12. What was it that he wished to say to them? He wished to unfold before them the wonders of Calvary. When Christ was crucified, their hopes and faith seemed to have perished, but this need not have been so if they had given heed to his teaching and accepted every word by faith, even if it did destroy their ambitious hopes for worldly honor. When Christ met the disciples on their way to Emmaus, they were greatly troubled in mind, and they were surprised that he inquired the cause of this. Luke 24, verse 18. And he said unto them, What things? Verse 19. And after they had described the events over which they were so troubled, he upbraided them for their unbelief, saying, O fools! Luke 24, verse 25 to 27. Arriving at their destination, Jesus made as if he would pass along, but they invited him to abide with them, and he went in with them. Would it not be well for us to give the heavenly messenger that same invitation? Shall we not desire him to abide with us? Verse 29. Jesus is passing by today. He is nigh at hand. When we invite him to remain with us, he in turn bids us to the gospel feast. Oh, let us heed the call. Come, for all things are now ready. Luke 14, verse 17. It is to those that are doers, and not hearers only, of the words of Christ that he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14, verse 3. Should not this inspire us with hope? When people inquire, Who are these people? Shall we be ashamed to acknowledge that we are Seventh-day Adventists? Oh, they are only Seventh-day Adventists. Are you ashamed of it? Are any of you ashamed of being Adventists? Jesus Christ himself proclaimed his second advent. Are you ashamed to repeat the proclamation or to be numbered with those who do? Read carefully, Exodus 31, and see if the Sabbath is anything of which we should be ashamed. Acts 1, verse 6 to 8, Witnesses unto the uttermost part of the earth. I inquire who is to do this work. Who will be witnesses unto Jesus of Nazareth? It is those who believe on Christ as their personal Savior. It is those who accept the declaration of Jesus as applying to their own cases. John 3, verse 16. Is everlasting life worth striving for? Who is to proclaim this wonderful message of love? It is those who have connected themselves with Christ by living faith. Acts 1, verse 9. We have not a dead Savior. He is not sleeping in the tomb, but is risen, and he proclaimed above the rent sepulchre of Joseph, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11, verse 25. As the Lord ascended in the clouds, he extended his hands and blessed his disciples, and said, Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 20. While he was passing out of their sight, they heard him voice this precious promise. Acts 1, verse 10. Why did not they appear as angels? Because the disciples could not have endured the glory of their persons clothed with the light of heaven. It would have extinguished them. And God, in mercy, sent his messengers in apparel as men. Acts 1, verse 11. And in another place is stated that they returned with great joy. Joy that they are left in a world of such great wickedness? No, but they remembered the precious promise which I have read to you, John 14, verse 1 to 3. They were comforted with the knowledge that he was coming again. They rejoiced and said with lighted countenances, He is coming again. This is just what comforts us. He is coming again. And we are seeking to keep his commands so that we shall not be found trampling his law underfoot. This is our probationary time. We are waiting to receive his commandments, that when he shall come, he may say, Children, your Father calls, come up higher. There is a higher school for us. We want to prepare ourselves for it. But how? We need to refrain from sin, and what is sin? 1 John 3, the only definition the Bible gives is the transgression of the law, verse 4. And Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law, and to rescue this world from the consequence of sin, and draw it back into harmony with God, reuniting it with heaven. In this work, he makes man his co-laborer. Therefore, in keeping the commandments and in proclaiming the soon coming of our Savior, we are laborers together with God.
Are we not in good company?
Remember this. Bear in mind constantly that you work in full view of the whole universe of heaven. Not a sparrow falls without notice. And we are called upon to lay hold of the divine power that we may rightly represent our Master. Let him lay hold of my strength. It is the will of God that we should reveal him to men and to angels, and he provides us with strength to do this. Even his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Christ has made reconciliation for our sins. Oh, accept him. He is your friend. He is constantly pleading for us in the courts of heaven.
What made his disciples rejoice so?
They were sure that he would fulfill his promises. They knew that he would not forget them. Isaiah 49, verse 15-16. Not only is the Lord interested in this world, but the whole universe is absorbed with anxiety and manifests the deepest concern in all our affairs. This disgraceful fall of Adam is to be atoned for here. It is to be proven here that God made no mistake in creating man. Here, the second Adam triumphed over the conqueror of the first Adam. He says, Satan found nothing in me. No, nothing. In him was no guile. And by his life we are justified, by his death we are redeemed, and by his resurrection we are raised. And now he calls upon every human being to unite with him in laboring for the salvation of men. We, his children, are here to show our loyalty to his precepts, to convince all that his law is holy, just, and good. Just as soon as we will let him, he will take away all our sins. Just as soon as we surrender them to God, our sins become his property. We have no right to spend a single moment in perplexity over them. And just as soon as we give ourselves to God, we are his property also, and have no more any right or reason to live in sin. He can and will keep that which is committed unto his hands.
What can cleanse you from sin?
The precious blood of the Son of God, that alone can make you clean. Oh, yield to him then. Hang your helpless soul upon the great Helper. We are here in this world to be tested and tried, to see whether we will walk in his law or no, to ascertain if we will be loyal subjects of the kingdom of love. Let me say to every one of you who are workers here, you have the heavenly angels to watch and to guard you. If you will only trust in Jesus and accept him as your personal Savior, he will cause you to triumph in every place. John 14, verse 12. The power of the whole heavenly host may be yours, that you may use it in drawing men to the well of salvation. The divine nature is imparted to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He has promised us all power. And with all power we can overcome the adversary, so that we may have an entrance into the city of God.
The gates are thrown open. Who will enter?
The Revelator makes the matter so plain that none need make any mistakes. Revelation 22, verse 12 to 14. This is just what I have been telling you that you are to do. Keep his commandments. It is our privilege, as we taste of the water of life, to say to others, Come.
The true child of God will sound this call, and why?
because his whole soul is imbued with the love of Christ. They are the links that draw toward heaven, the channels through which Christ would communicate to the world. The very best work that we can do is to set before the world the value of the knowledge of Christ, to show what it can do for man. And I want to especially impress this upon you. You are of great value with God. He has entrusted precious gifts to you, and he wants you to exercise every power that he may be glorified.
How do I know that he values you?
Your value in his eyes is measured by the cross of Calvary, by the gift which God gave to save the world, and by the measure of eternity. You should seek to be a blessing to everyone that you are connected with. And in heaven it is written, "You are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandmen." Then there will be a heaven of pleasure, a heaven of glory, a heaven of comfort and love around you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 12, verse 34. If Christ abides in us, our conversation will be in heaven. We are exhorted to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That is the reason, because he is holy. If we know him, if he abides with us, we will be like him. But if not, you say, in attitude and in word, "I know him not." He will take the simplest and the weakest and build them up in the most holy faith if they keep the channel of communications open between God and their souls. Every day as you are at work, you have lessons before you in nature, teaching you to be faithful in the little as well as large things. You may learn of him even as Christ did, and in your studies God will help you as he did Daniel. Only do your best and he will supply your lack with his sufficiency. May God grant that every one of us may do our best. That is all that our Father asks. If you lack anything, ask and ye shall receive, for he is more willing to give good things to us than are our earthly parents. You may live so that Christ will not be ashamed to call you his brethren before the heavenly host. I feel so thankful that Christ gives me strength to do something. When you are laboring on the place, setting out trees or digging up trees, or whatever you may be doing in connection with this enterprise, remember that you are doing the work of the Lord just as much as the minister who stands in the desk. I am glad to see these youth here. Will every one of you help God to do his work? Do you ask, how can I help him? By cooperating with him, letting him work upon our character, remodeling and restoring it into harmony with heaven. The angels of God are in your midst here. Do not forget that. Talk of nothing. Do nothing you would not wish them to hear or see. James 1, verse 5. If anyone thinks he is to be upbraided, he will stand off and not ask. But there is nothing of this kind. There is something else, though. Let him ask in faith. You are not to ask and then go right along as though you did not expect anything. You are not to ask to use for your own pleasure. No, no, we are to be sober, to put solid timbers into our lives. We are to inquire at every step, is this what Jesus would have me do? We need not be swayed this way and that, for he is more willing to give us power to remain steadfast than we are to ask. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11. In another place it says, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Luke 11, verse 13. Many want to keep on the Savior's side, but go just as far away as they can, go just as near sinning as they think it is possible, without losing the favor of God. They are worldly-minded. They lust after unlawful indulgences all the time. This is too dangerous. You must keep as far away from sin as you possibly can. Avoid the very appearance of evil. God wants you to get an experience here that will last you through to the kingdom of Christ. If not one sparrow falls to the ground without the Father's notice, how must he regard the words that fall from our lips? How accurately he notes their influence upon the lives of others. Now, let us show that he has not died for us in vain. All he requires is that we do our duty, not from a sense of duty, but with the love unfeigned. When I look upon these precious souls, I am so thankful that Jesus can live in us. If we will take liberally of the Word of God, He will fill our whole being. We need to know more of the Bible and its precious promises. We should frame them and hang them right in our hearts. It is the abundant knowledge of the Word which enables the striving one to stand against the onslaught of the adversary. This ability enlarges and develops by exercise and improvement. Every temptation resisted places you on vantage ground. You remember how Peter rebuked Jesus when he told him of his expected sufferings. But the Lord said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Matthew 16, verse 23. Satan had stepped right in between Peter and his master. His presence was as a wall between them, and so Jesus commanded him, "Get thee behind me, so that I can address Peter." When Satan is allowed to interpose between us and God, the Word of God must come to us through him, and we hear as he emphasizes it, as he interprets it. Therefore, let us take care that our attitude shall not invite the father of lies to act as the translator of truth. God help us that we may do the work which he has assigned us, represent Jesus, his Son, to the world as he is, a Savior from sin.